evening to everybody. So we're going to continue from 2 weeks ago. So 2 weeks ago, for the past weeks, right, we saw the concept of the Yud, right? That Chazal understand that the Yud is the beginning of the Bria. The Reishis of the Bria is this magical Yud, right? The Yud becomes so important, it's so fundamental, because this is how what's called the Shoresh Bria, the root of the Bria, the beginning, the kernel, is represented by a Yud, which is a point. That's the beginning of the point that how the world was created. And was, as we saw last week, right, what the Ramban quotes in Chumash, that Bereishis means that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in potential, and for the potential of the world, he developed. And that potential is represented by this Yud, right? And the Yud represents the development, which is the point to the line, to the space, to the two dimensions. This is the concept of the Yud. If anybody didn't hear, you should chazer. But this is what's called the Reishis of the world, right? Now we're going to hear tonight talk about this, how this connects to Meiser, to the idea of Meiser, and to the number 10, which is the numerical representation of the letter Yud. Because as we know that we have, that our letters have something which is called the numerical representation, the gematria. The numerical representation, okay, of the letter in Chazal is called Oires Bekelim. The numbers is the energy of the letter. They animate the letter. And the letter is the vessel, how it expresses itself. Expression is in form of letters. The numbers are the energy and the power behind the letters. You know, there is a very famous question about the philosophers of mathematics to try to say, we know mathematics is a universal language. Everybody knows, and the world functions mathematically. And the question that everybody asks is, why is the world mathematical? Is it because the world is mathematical and the humans were able to catch it? Or is it because that's how the human mind frames questions? So it's anthropocentric, meaning the human mind frames it in question of numbers, and therefore you're able to represent phenomena, and measure it in terms of numbers, mathematics. In Chazal, is the opposite. The numbers is are the energy of the world. When the world is animated through something called the Sefirot, and the Sefirot is this magical numbers. So the numbers, they get vested. That's the energy that's vested in the letters and expresses in the words. So the letter Yud has a numerical value of 10. And we're going to see what the Yud represents that we saw the weeks before. It represents in the number 10 that we'll talk tonight. Okay? So we'll follow now in the Shlo. And the Shlo is in Parshat Tolos. Today we will see is the Shlo and the Maral, and you see that they talk about the same language. They lived around the same time, but they're following the same idea. It says like this, Da, ki soda mainzeres vesoida broches. The concept of mainzer and the concept of brocha, hakol holech el makom echad. Brocha and mainzer, they come from the same root. Al ken nemar brocha b'mainzer. That's why, varikoyse lachem brocha, ad blidai, it says b'mainzer. So Meiser is the vehicle, the vessel to attract Brocha. V'soyda inyan, v'imtza mea shorim, is the Pasuk Parshas Toldot, they said that Yitzchak, when he planted, he found 100 gates. Chazal say that he measured for Meiser, and according to his estimate, in the end, it came out to be 100 times bigger than he was expecting. Gam inyan Brocha, zomur Chazal, and Brocha is always connected to the number 100. Chayav Adam Levarech, the Gemara Menachos, Mea Brochas B'chol Yom. A person has to make Mea Brochas B'chol Yom. Every day a person has to make 100 Brochas. So you see the number 100 and the number Brocha have to be together. Mea Brochas we see Mea Shorim by Yitzchok, and you have the concept of Mea Brochas, a person is Mechuyav to make Mea Brochas every day. Inyan Mea Shorim Kosav Arukanti V'zalashon. So the Arukanti, when the old Kabbalist says the following, Da, Ki Chach Mea Kabbalah Omru. The Chacham HaKabbalah explained, Ki aretz ha'ilyona me'a shorim. The spiritual land, or the spiritual earth, has 100 gates. Lechol shar be'iskibol novas mayon lebrocha lo'olam. And from each gate, there is something that flows brocha through it. Umisham Yonah Yitzchak Avinu, and that's why Yitzchak Avinu was the one who, when he planted, got mea shorim, mea mine brochas mi mea shorim, and he's going to get 100 from these 100 shorim. Shibisham yotze brocha v'shefa atzilu zechon nivroim. So the shefa, the hashpo, for all the creatures come from those outer gates. Ulefichach timotze be'ol moed, and that's why the oil moed, if you look at the tabernacle, right, the Mishkan, it was standing on 100 adanim. The adonim are the base. They are the base kibble, right? They are the ones who were the crushing, go in, right? So they are the receptacles or the vessels for the crushing. So every Eden is base kibble. So 100 represents the base kibble, the one that receives, that's able to take. Mea Adonim, Usun Siudi means. Vani Agalea Sobiter. So he says, that's what the Rukanti writes, and the Rukanti is the early Kabbalists, right? So now the Shlo says, I'll continue it. Hine Soida Mainzer, the Soida Mainzer is the same Yud. Veyeshlo Shloshainyanim. If you look at the Yud has three perspectives to it. Achas Yud Batzma, the letter Yud on its own, right? Which is a point. Base kutzo shel yud shinikuda. Then on top of the yud there is a little dot. There is a little that's called the chupchik above the yud. We call nekuda yud ktana. So the yud has in itself two yudim. Is a yud with a yud on top. That's why I told you that little thing that comes out of the yud, the tag, is me'akev on the yud. If you don't have, because every yud is in essence a double yud. And that's what we spoke, if you remember, in the beginning of the series. That's why it's called Breishis, base Reishis. The beginning is a double beginning. Because as you'll see, we live in a world which Hashem comes to us and presents himself to us in this double vision. That's how we have two eyes, to create a perspective, right? So the Yud has two Yudim. There's the Yud, and there's the Yud on top of the Yud. The Halacha requires that. It's called Kutzo Shel Yud. Kutzo Shel Yud is Me'akev the Yud. Our Yud has two Yudim. We call the Kudiktana. And the Gimel, the third Yud, he's Milui Shel Yud. That's how Yud is spelled out. Yud is spelled out Yud Vov Daled. Vov and Daled, Begimatri is also 10. Shu Gamken Asora. Keze, Yud, Vov and Daled, Yule Yud. Vine Atsilus, Hu Yud Sviris. So you know that the Atzilus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created the world, how he manifested himself, is through the 10 spheres. And it all comes from the Chochmah, from that creative wisdom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself. It's like when you have a master plan, you have an idea. That idea in potential, before it gets developed, that is called Chochmah. Like we said always, the thinking fast of Kahneman, that idea that you have the idea in potential and then you have to elaborate, you have to limit, you have to develop, that's called Chochmah. Okay? Mispar Eser Sfiros Mitzad HaChochmah. So the Chochmah is divided into something called 10 Sfiros. Ve'adaz v'b'chinas ha-keter mashlim ha-minyan. And even though Keser is the first of the Sfiros, as we spoke so many times, but when you start from Chochmah, Das replaces Keser, and that we'll see eventually what it means. But the Kusa Shel Yud, now, so that's the Yud. The Yud is the beginning, the 10, which is the beginning of something called the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His creation. That's the point that becomes 10. It's called the 10 spheres. The 10 spheres, Blimo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed Himself to us within those 10 emanations, the 10 spheres. But there is a Yud above. Right? Because the Yud above is the unknown. The more you know, the more you realize how little you know. He created that mysterious way that's within Chochmah. Kmo shekosu bekubolim. Kisham eser sfiros be'alom. And this is the shoresh of the eser sfiros. Vedako is nirmozni bekotsu shel yud. She yud daka nelemes. That's a minute yud. So that's the yud within the yud. So the yud is the source of the world. And the source of the world is the knowledge that comes from a source beyond what we can understand. So that is something called the Keser. And this is the lack of knowledge, the unknown that comes from knowledge. Okay? And I told you, different than the Truman Show, right? It's not, we live in a world which is a constructed world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu never wanted to fool us, for us to believe that this is it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the more you understand this world, the more you realize how little you understand. So that lack of understanding is the beginning of creation. So there are two beginnings, the beginning of the constructed reality and the beginning of the understanding that this is only constructed. Umilu Yahayud, so these are two dimensions. There is one dimension of Yud, which is cognitive, which we can understand, we can relate, and one dimension of Yud, which is beyond cognition. The Milu Yahayud, and what's the concept of the Milu Yahayud, meaning how you spell out the Yud, the Vav and the Dalet, we spash the Sesfiras. That's how the Sesfiras come to the world and they become reality. So in other words, there is a source to the world, and that source becomes a reality, and that's the Vav and the Dalet. The Vav and the Dalet, and this will be Mirz Hashem, the next couple Shurim, the Vav and the Dalet is the reality of this world. The Vav, what is the Vav? Right. First of all, let me tell you a rule. Reb Tzadok says the following: if you want to know the meaning of a letter in Hebrew, how do you get to know the meaning of a letter? So the meaning of a letter is done in three or maybe four ways. Number one, from the name of the letter, right? The letter says something. The letter Vav. What does the letter Vav mean? What does the word Vav mean? It means a hook. That's number one. Number two, you always look for that letter where it appears the first time in Chumash at the beginning of a shoresh, of a root word. So letter Vav, where does it appear in the beginning? You see, Vav is usually Vav Achibur. The Vav is usually, is a conjunction, it's not what you call it, it's not a root. There's only one Vav which is in the beginning of a root. That's the word Vavim Lamudim, the word hook. In Torah, so the Vav is the hook. And then also, you look at the numerical value. Numerical value is number six. And then you look how in Ksav Ashuris, it shows. It's a Vav. Now, it's interesting, I told you, we know that we have two Hebrew scripts. Forget about Ksav Rashi. But the old Hebrew scripts, right? We have our Hebrew script, which is called the Syrian Ksav, is Ksav Ashuris. And then we have something called Ksav Ivri, Chazal called this Ksav Libunoa, which is a pictograph. And the pictograph of a Vav is a hawk. It looks exactly like a hawk, because that's what Vav is. So Vav is the hawk. That's why if you want to connect two words together, what letter do you use to connect it to? It's called the Vav. Not only that. So Vav is the hawk. And we're going to see what the Vav is, because the Vav is the ultimate hawk. And the word Dalet, right? Dalet, if you look at the letter, is a space, right? It's two dimensions, like creating a perimeter, right? The two dimensions, it creates a plane. The first place, if I'm not mistaken, that says Dalet is the word Deshe, space. Hebrew, Dalet means, what does Dalet mean? Dal means somebody who had something, who has nothing. It's an empty space. So Dalet is the empty space. So Vav is the hook. And Dalet is the empty space. In how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates himself to this world, it's a giver and a taker. The male is the Vav, the female is the Dalet. And this how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the milui of this world, how the Yud expresses in this world, you'll see that the Yud expresses itself as a Vav and a Dalet, and that's all of creation, is the givers and takers. And we're going to see that the ultimate flaw of this world is the Vav and the Dalet try to be independent. They want to create an independence. Ein shnei melochim yecholim nishtamesh bekeser echad. The Chama and the Levon are the representation of this, the sun and the moon. And the sun and the moon, as you'll see, that they said, we cannot, two kings cannot use the same crown. The analogy to the crown is, that is a mistake. Siontov wrote a sefer on this. It's a mistake to think that the moon was a star. The moon was always empty and was reflecting the light of the sun, because she received the light of the sun. But the idea was, before, they were all on the same orbit. the orbit of the sun and the orbit of the moon was synchronized, because the moon realized that he has no orbit of his own. But she said, we can't have one castle, one crown, one orbit. I want an independent orbit. I want to be my own. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu desynchronized the two orbits. And today, if you look at the sun and the moon, they have a separation between them, right? The orbit of the moon is 355 days on average. And, the 354, right? But we say it could be 354, 355. And the biggest is 355. So 355 is the biggest orbit of the moon. The sun orbit is 365. So you see that there is a separation between the two. And the gross says, Aser Esem Yitshuva come to be Mesak in those 10 days. They come to be Mechaber, the Cham, and the Levana. But this is the Vav and the Dalet. So that's the Yud, that when the Yud comes of the Chochmah, which is the master plan of Hashem, how it becomes reality in this world, are through these forces, which are competing with each other, givers and receivers, and that's the life. So says the Shlo, the Yud has three components. First is the hidden thought or the hidden plan of the Yud, which is called the Kutzo Shel Yud, which is 10. Then you have the Yud, which is the point, the beginning, the master plan. That's the origin, the original point of the world. And then how the world becomes a Yud, which is a reality, which is a Vav and a Dalet. Vav and the Dalet, Chazal say, it's called the Du Partsufim. Those are the two faces of the world. You realize the males and females are the two Partsufim. Chazal say, when Adam and Chav were created, they were androgynous. They were male and female. Chazal call it the Du Partsufim. Du Partsufim is Du in Aramaic is two, right? But the Du not only is in Aramaic two, but Du is the Dalet and the Vav. Dalet and Vav are the two faces of the world, how the Yud relates to the world that comes on here. Okay? Mm-hmm. So he says like this. And you'll soon see something very cool in this. But that's what he explains. So he says like this. So there are three, the ten comes in three dimensions. Umidas Adnus, and the Shem Aleph Dalet Nud Nud, which is the same as Adonim, who saw the Aretz Ael Yonah Mekabelot Otam. All these Yuds, Malchus, which is the Shem Adnus is Mekabel from Yud Kivovke. I told Yud Kivovke comes from the Yud. So that Yud that comes from the Yud Kivovke, the Shem Adnus, right, is the expression of the Shem Yud Kivovke, and that we'll see. Vem Soid Mea Adnim. So Adonim, the 100, is that concept of the physical reality. And you could see why it's 10 times 10. So the physical reality, which is the Vav and the Dalet, that Yud, which is the second dimension, is the 10 in the second dimension, which is 100. So the Shlo is going to explain that this is called in Chazal, the Aik, the Aleph Yud Kuf. Aleph, the 10, which is in essence 1, is the Yud on top of the Yud. The Yud is the 10, and the 10 in its full dimension is the number 100. So the world of the existence here is 100, the Shoresh of the world is 10, and the Shoresh HaShoroshim is the Aleph. So Aleph Yud Kuf. Okay? This is what the Seder. So he says like this. Harei lecha soed maiski be'adnus e mea shorim. Adnus, the mekabel, the world as we know the existence, is the Vav and the Dalet. That's the milui. That's how you express the Yud. Umisalimim bechochma. And this has a shoresh, which is the point, the chochma helyoina. Ve'achar kach misalim b'yoiz b'tach zelam b'kut shliud. And this has a shoresh, which is even higher, which is called the unknown shoresh. And the Chochmah is Misyachedes, and the Chochmah connects itself to the unknown. This is how the world is. The world is 100. 100 is the 10 dimension to the second level. That's why it's 10 times 10, right? It's the second factor. We have to connect to the concept of the Chochmah, which is 10. And acknowledge that it comes from a source that we don't even know. What we believe the source is really the second source. Okay? And this is how the world connects. Humir la Yud. V'chai b'sam b'shosh b'chochma v'chai b'sachti b'yachtu zamukhim g'zashliut harisoid ma'iser u'ma'iser b'na ma'iser. Therefore, you have 100, which is this world, the brocha, the world of brocha, the second dimension of the world, connects to the world of ma'iser, which is chochma, and the ma'iser you give ma'iser mina ma'iser, which is the keter, which is hidden in the chochma. And these two, the Yud of Chochmah and the Yud of Keter, the Yud of Known and the Yud of the Unknown, are called Machshava. The thought of Hashem, the plan, comes from this known and the unknown. Always this double face. Hashem shows a way that we can know Him, and from the knowledge we can know that we are missing to know something from Him. You could think about it, but you can't really grasp it. Therefore, there is this unknown which comes before. That's the source, which is called the Keter, the source of all thought. Okay. I just want to skip a little bit, and I'll go ahead and just show you. Now, the soid ma'iser, just skip a little bit. Now, before, the soid, and now let me just say where I'm going to go. Okay, the soid through Magdoila. The soid through Magdoila, like it's 3SM. Chita achas poteres. Now, you know something. When you go ahead and you give ma'iser, and you give ma'iser mina ma'iser. And the halacha is the ma'iser and ma'iser mina ma'iser have to be measured. You have to count exactly. You realize that when you take ma'iser, you have to exactly count. And once you count, you give 10% of it to the levi, and the levi gives 10% of what he earned, which is 1%, to the kohen. But then there is such a thing called truma. And truma, anything is enough. And you give it in estimate. You don't have to really measure it. It's done in estimate, and technically, even one grain is enough to be truma. So now let's look at the system. 100 is the existence as it spreads. The Vav and the Dalet here represents the second dimension of the 10. That's why it's represented with the number 100. Vesoid Meinzer. What's the Meinzer? Is the connecting it to the Shoresh of this world. View Etzem Yud. That's the Yud, which is the Shoresh of this world. Utrumas Meinzer. What's Trumas Meinzer? To take the Shoresh, what we believe is the Shoresh of the world, to realize that comes from an unknown. Bekutzo Shel Yud. That's the Yud above the Yud. Vekolze Nikach Bebida. But you have to understand that this is all functions of measurement. This is still something which is measurable. This is the known and the unknown. Is something that we can measure and understand. I'm going to tell you in a second. Aval true magdoila. What's true magdoila? Is the realization al etzem hakoychaliu. That's the unknown. Shezeu b'china lemala mi'b'china dveikus etzem yud bekutza. The keser, when it connects to chokhmah, is one thing. But then there is an infinite, which is unspoken. And that's called khita achas poteres es kol akri. Okay? Let me explain to you a little bit. There is, Cantor created something mathematics called, I think we mentioned before, the set theory. Set theory tells you that you could create sets. And even infinites, you could create sets of infinites and work with them. The famous, I think I'm not sure if I mentioned to you, but the famous story, Cantor is used to say that he goes to a hotel which has an infinite amount of rooms, and they told him, okay, I would like to have a room, and they tell him, I'm sorry, but the hotel is fully booked. He says, how is it possible? You have an infinite amount of rooms. He says, yes, but we have an infinite amount of guests. So it doesn't work. So Cantor told him, he said, one second, what's the first room, room number one? Okay, what's room number two? The next room. So let's fit an infinite number of rooms between room one and room two. Set theory. And this becomes in mathematics that so infinite, you could deal with them. Because even the infinites, they're infinite, but they're finite, that you could be grasped. But then there is the ineffable infinite. And Cantor went crazy because of that. When he realized that that's an infinite, that you can't even deal with that. Because an infinite that breaks all measurements. You know how we call that infinite in mathematics? It's called Aleph. Aleph. If you look at mathematics, it's called Aleph, the theory of the Aleph. He went crazy, but he called it Aleph. This is what says the Shloh. There is a concept that the beginning of the world is that we come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the beginning of knowledge, Chochmah, that's the Yud. But the Yud tells you that there is an unknown, and you grasp the unknown. But even the unknown that you grasp is the unknown that's connected to Chochmah. Your knowledge lets you know what you don't know. But if you think that you know what you don't know, that's wrong. There is something that we just estimate. That's Chita Achas, is the one, the Aleph, that is only an estimate. That's Truma. So when you give to Mindset, we are connecting this world to its root, to its Shoresh. You go ahead and you acknowledge that it comes from a master plan that's rooted in a master plan that we don't know, that we lack the knowledge, which comes from something that we don't even know what it is, we can only estimate. Yes, we'll soon see. That's why the Samech, you realize something, what you're saying is so beautiful. In a brocha mitzuya, brocha is only somu minayin, something that you don't see. Because if you measure, you're disconnecting from the source. All of life, and the Maharal will say this, the brocha is that the world of physical, which appears to be disconnected, we connect it to the source. And that's the idea of Mindset, is the recognition that it comes from a bigger master plan that is so high and so great. We saw in Bay Rosh Hashanah, Aleinu L'Shabeach, right? Shakudosh Baruch Hu is Ushchinas Uzoi Begov Hemeroimim. We say Shakudosh Baruch Hu showed us that He is much higher than we can never know, this ineffable truth. So you realize that the world here, even though it appears to be separate, is connected to something much higher, much greater. And if you connect, that's the concept of Brocha. The Brocha is based, Reish Chof, is the realization that the world is number two, comes from something much bigger. And that's why it's 100, is the physical world, which is double, right? Is the double 10, the second, like the second dimension, connected to the dimension of the Yud, which connects to the dimension of the Mindset Bina Mindset, which connects to the Truma, which is Aleph, which is Be'oimed. And this is connecting the world to its source. Right? And that's the whole idea of the world, is connecting the world to its source. So it says like this. כל זה ניקח במידה, כי כן אצילוס, כי הוא בחוכמה, שם תרומה, אבל תרומה גדולה, רואים איזה על עצם הקודשל יהוד, תרומה גדולה relates to that point above the יהוד, שזהו בחינה למעלה מבחינה דבקוס עצם היהוד בקוצה, is higher than when the יהוד connects to the קוצה של יהוד. כי דבקוס יהוד בקוצה, זהו דבקוס וישתבוס חוכמה לכסר. If the יהוד connects to the קוצה של יהוד, it's already connecting. It could relate to it. Meaning you could get and you could grasp it. But Aleph, that Aleph that's unconnected to anything, that's the unknown that we don't even realize, the ineffable oneness, that's unconnected to any reality, that is the Shoresh. This you can never know what it is, you can only estimate. ולומדו חזר מפוסוק ונחשב לכם כלוימה במחשובה ואוימד. Okay, that's מחשובה ואוימד. Now we're going to skip a little bit because the reason I put it every for you is that if you want to review it, you could read the whole text. But the justice will go. ולוויר העניין, so if you go back down to the page, it's like four lines from the bottom. So he says, I'm going to quote the Shari Oira. The Shari should be Kinui Brocha when he explains Brocha Vezeleshoine. The Elu Me Adonim should be Mishkan, the 100 Adonim, the 100 bases of the Mishkan, Hem Bedimim Mea Brochas. Those are the ways how the world receives and holds the Mishkan above. That's the Shem Adus. That Kodesh Baruch is the master of this world. That you go ahead and you connect to something higher. That's how we make Mea Brochas. What's the Mea Brochas? Brocha, the idea is the recognition that the world comes from something higher. What I mentioned is that Shlomo Zalman has a halacha. We know that we make Mea Brochas. We have to make 100 brochas every day. Now, what happened on Shabbos if you're Mekabel Shabbos early? Right? So Shabbos is a day that is tough to get 100 brochas. Right? Very tough because you don't have Shmonesra. Shmonesra usually is 19 brochas. Here you have only 7. Now what happens if you daven Shabbos early on Friday? So you daven Shabbos, you make Birkas Krishma. Now, does it count towards the 100 brochas of Friday? Or does it count towards the 100 brochas of Shabbos? So Shlomo Zalman says it counts towards the 100 brochas of Friday. Not of Shabbos. Even though Kedusha Shabbos is already Chal, but since Lemaisa, it's a Friday, it counts on Friday. So Rosh Hashanah used to say, if you go ahead and you start Shabbos early, and you make Shal Shudas, the Birkas Hamazon late, you are missing 20 brochas, give or take. So you have to make it up, right? Because you're missing Ma'ariv, 7 brochas of Shmoneh Esrei, you're missing Birkas Krishma, and then you're missing Birkas Hamazon, the 4 brochas afterwards. So all together, who knows, like 20 brochas, so you have to make it up. Now the question is why? One second. If Shabbos, all the halachas of Shabbos are tall in Kedusha Shabbos, why the 100 brochas are tall on the physical day? But the answer is very simple. Just say, what's the brochas? What the mea brochas? The mea brochas, Chazal say, that they were instituted on physical phenomena. That you look at physical phenomena and you connect that this is connected to something higher. So it's tall on the physical day, not on the spiritual day. The whole idea is to take the physical day and connect to the spiritual world. So therefore, says Shlomo Zalman, the hours that they are used to count the 100 brochas are the physical hours. If the physical world today is Friday, doesn't matter if you're Mekabel Shabbos or not, it counts towards Friday. If Lemaisa, you make Birkas Hamazon like the Chassidim, they make Birkas Hamazon at night, on Motzei Shabbos at 10 o'clock at night, yes, but this counts towards Sunday, not Kol Shabbos. Because the idea of brochas is exactly this, is to realize that the world is receiving and connecting to something much higher. That recognition is brocha. Brocha in Hebrew is hamshocha, right? It's like called layering. If you take a tree, or if you take a plant, and you layer it, you plant it, and from that plant comes something else. It's called layering. That's called brocha. That's why Beis Reish Chof is the beginning of the Shniyos, 222. The realization that the world comes from something much higher. This is the second dimension, and we connect to a higher dimension. So this is the idea of the brochas. That's what he says. Lefi chayav adam levarach mea brochas b'chol yom, ki delim shebekol akad v'achad b'la brochas. To connect to this and to recognize that the world is a second dimension. V'im chaser bracha achat pogim b'talmud. If he's missing on the brochas, you are missing the point. V'asoy tolu besoyt aik becher. That's what Chazal say, that's aik becher. Aik becher is aled yud kuf. The 1, the 10, and the 100. Shul soid koyin levi v'Yisrael. Shul soid nefesh ruach neshama. So it says like this. This world of 110 and 1, that connection, that pyramid of 110 and 1, right, which is the world of physical, which is the second dimension, connecting to the chokhmah, which is the master plan, which connects to the unknown chokhmah, 110 and Yud, it's called Aik, Aleph, Yud, Kuf, is Keneged, Koyen, Levi, and Israel, which is Keneged, the Nefesh, the Ruach, and the Neshama. We have 3 cognitive parts of the Neshama. Take a look at this place. Ulifi Zei, Kvar David, Porchi, Navshes, Hashem, Kola, Habroch, is the Nefesh. The Broch is the Nefesh, Besoit, Shloishes, Amaroch, is Elyonis. Let me explain to you what he's saying. The world. Eov says, apostle, like this, Mibsori echze eloika. I can understand God and I can understand the world by looking to myself. Introspection, I also understand the world. Our cognitive neshama is made out of 3 parts: the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. Nefesh is the part of the neshama that relates to the physical activities. That's why an animal can have a nefesh. That's why it's a horse called Nefesh Abahamis. If I mentioned to you, I think I mentioned before, but I'll mention again, Rabbi Moshe Shapiro always says the word nefesh in Hebrew has a double meaning. The word nefesh means to rest, Shabbos va'in nofesh, right? Oymed lofush in Chazal, lofush. And the word nefesh also means rotzin, desire. Im yesh es nafshachem, right? Efshi betakonas chachomim. Now the word desire in Hebrew is how we call desire in Hebrew. It's called rotzin. Rotzin comes from the word ratz, to run, because desire is what motivates the world, is what animates the world. That's why Naftali is a yola shlucha, he's a running deer, and Naftali is svar rotzin. He has rotzin, because rotzin and running is the same thing. Now, so the word nefesh has opposite meanings. It means to rest, and it means to run. Right? Nefesh means to rest, and it means to run. How is that possible? Because that's the physical activity. Physical activity is something that you have a desire, and you satiate. You desire, and you satiate. The definition of something physical is something that's finite. Let's say if somebody is very hungry, you want to eat an ice cream. You eat the ice cream, but after you eat enough ice cream, you can't even see ice cream. There's no such a thing as desire. The desire dies, right? It's a desire that comes. So it runs and it dies. That is the definition of something physical. That's the nefesh. Now, then we have a second level of the neshama, which is the higher. It's called the metaphysical. It relates to the feelings and the emotions of the neshama. And how is that called in Hebrew? It's called the ruach. Ve'ata ruach yashar alecha. Ruach is, what's the definition of ruach? It's air in movement. That's wind. Because the definition of it is that's metaphysical. It's a desire, but that desire is insatiable. Never stops. That is a higher and deeper form of desire. That's a higher form. I always say this is called, you see, there are two kinds that say desire for money. Chazal say desire for money. You could have something called taiva, and something called chenda. Taiva is physical desire. Somebody wants to make money to buy a nice car. So you work very hard to get a nice car, then you get a nice car, you enjoy it for 3 days, and then you lose interest. See, Rav Wooden was used to say, in life you have luxuries and necessities. You know the difference between luxuries and necessities? Luxury is something that you have, but you don't need it, but you actually enjoy when you have it. Necessity is the opposite. You can't live without it, but you actually can't appreciate when you have it. And you know the problem of the world is the luxuries turn into necessities, right? You have luxuries, you enjoy it, and you don't need it. The more you have it, the more you need, the less you appreciate. That's exactly it. So the physical, that's taiva. Taiva is that you have this desire and it dies. The metaphysical is a desire that never dies. Somebody who's a workaholic that loves money, he doesn't satiate oyev kesev lo yizba kesev. It's because money became to him some kind of an obsession. Obsession is a higher, deeper form of the neshama. It's called ruach. It's called the emotional. The emotional part that never satiates. And that's called chelnas amomin. That's why you have something. You have people, the one who has money as a form of taiva. If somebody only loves money, let's say because he wants to buy something or who knows, have a good vacation, the guy can't work forever because he'll burn out. So he needs a vacation. The guy who would work is something metaphysical. Not only does he need a vacation, he can have a vacation. I know a few people that they don't even know what to do on a vacation, right? Because they're constantly working and etc. Because it comes from the ruach. And then you have the intellectual part of connection with Shbuch, which is called the neshama. Neshama is that part of the intellectual that you cognate, you ended up understanding what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. In Chazal, it's called Keneged Koyin, Levi, and Israel, which is Keneged 100, 10, and 1. Let's see what it explains. The Nefesh, no, the Nefesh is the physical Keneged Israel. Yeah, first order. Take a look what he says. B'shlosh shris b'chilon. Nefesh tzricha levorech mea brochas. The nefesh is the physical. So the nefesh needs to make 100 brochas to connect to something higher. taiva, if it's pure taiva, not connected to something spiritual, is something very empty. So the first thing you do, the mea brochas, vi keneged isor, that's Israel. Umin habrochas a mea yagiu asora. Once you give a brocha, you recognize it comes from a higher source. You're taking the world from physical to a level of metaphysical. So you're like Levi. A Levi is the one. You know what Levi does? Levi are the ones who created. They kept the gates. They guarded the gates between the outside of the Beis Hamikdash to the inside of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Levi is that one that allows you, the physical, to enter the gates of spirituality. So the same way the Levi were the guardians of the gates, not only that, the Levi were also Meshererim. They sang. Why? Because singing, you create and you put everything in harmony. So the Levi is the one that harmonizes the physical with the spiritual. This is with Meinzer. If you give Meinzer, you recognize that the world here comes from something much higher. That's Keneged the Ruach, which is the in-between, the Neshama and the Nefesh. And what does the Levi do? He connects to something higher, to the infinite. That's to the Neshama. Echad me'asor b'shenotlu. V'zeu soit parshas ma'inse levim v'kuihanim v'Yisrael v'kuihim v'toira. L'ficha chomer levim tedav me'lem v'marta lehem ki tichu mez b'nei Yisrael sa'ma'inse sh'nasati lachem v'yitam v'are mo'isi mimenu trumas Hashem ma'inse mina ma'inse. V'soit ma'inse mina ma'inse r'shodak. Shem ein kuf en yud, im ein yud en aleph. All of life is to take him from the 100 to the 10 to the 1, connecting. This is the soid of life. Levich hatzori chodom liyot zorz b'mi abroches, and etc. Ve'echaz v'shom chaserach hatzmo gevil mi abroches im gidim me'as ad ne'kesef shebeim shefa aduz v'ashir chotzad le'mi abrechois. That's the ashpo v'kudosh boch in this world ad kan v'shoinai. And let's go finish a little bit more. V'sov kol dovar hukuf b'miluoy. What's the numerical value of what's the letter represents that what's the letter that represents the number 100? Is the letter kuf. And you see kuf in Hebrew, what does kuf mean? What does koif mean? A monkey. Huh? No, it means monkey. Chazal say is ke koif bifnei Hashchina. So the number 100 is like a monkey. And it's going to explain why. Because what's a monkey? The Gemara in Babasa says the monkey is a humanoid, but he doesn't have a neshama. He tries to be human. That's why Darwin could make a mistake that we came from them. Mm-hmm. But he's a humanoid without a neshama. The world of 100 is the world of koif, right? It's the physical, that unless you connect to the spiritual, is a world of physical without a neshama. And that's why the world, the numerical value of 100, the letter that represents that is the koif, which is the letter hey, just much longer. Is a hey that goes down. The hey, which we spoke about, the dalet and the vav, lower to here, without connecting, is the kuf. But take a look what he says, such thing amazing. The word koif is begimatria. The word kuf, the numerical value is 100. But if you spell out koif, what is 186? Is begimatria the word mokim? Is the word space? Mokim is the 186. Baruch hamokim. Ve'akudosh Baruch Hu nikamokim sheminyan shem havaye. If yud peomim, if you look at the name yud kei vav kei, and you take yud kei vav kei and you multiply and you basically take every letter square. The yud square, the hey square, the vav square, and the hey square. Yud piyam yud, hey piyam hey, vav piyam vav, hey piyam hey. Well, kiminya mokim, that's mokim. In other words, the yud ki vav ke, in its second level, which is multiplied onto itself, is the word of 100, which means the word of koif is the word of monkey, is a world that's separate from the earlier dimension. And therefore, this world is called Mokum. This is the space of the world. And now Ravoda is to connect it to the higher level, to bring the Neshama to the monkey. That's what we do. And that's why you have to bring to Kodesh. Is that which is connecting the physical to the world, or physical to the world of spiritual. That's why Lam Habo is that world of Koif, with a full neshama connected to it. And this, the idea of bringing the koif, that's why you bring 100 brochas to animate the monkey with the neshama. Yaakov Avinu represents that. Yaakov with his four wives. Yaakov is the Vav, and the four wives is Dalet. Right, as we spoke to the oldest, Shemamita Shlema Oyle Koif, the Gimatra is 186. Yaakov plus 4. So Yaakov Avinu represents, I told Yaakov in his four wives. We are going to see, represents the Vov and the Dalet. Yaakov is the Vov, right? Is the Sula Mutzavarza, Veroisha Magia Shamaima, and the Dalet are his four wives. Take the four wives plus Yaakov, the Gimatra is 186. That's mocking. Right? This is the koif. This is the ultimate. That's why Esav wanted to have the Olam Hazeh and Yaakov the Olam Haba to bring the two together. Right? But the Esav is the one who creates the world of Sheker, which is not connected to the world of Emes. And therefore, that creates that separation. By the way, if you look at it, the Soro Shel Esav, always Soros Shel Esav, in our parsha, it's very good to get to our parsha, because once you understand this, you can understand the Machloikas Yaakov and Esav, that we make it in such a big thing by us, right? Esav, Yaakov asked the Soros Shel Esav, what's your name? So what did he answer? Lama Zet Tishalishmi, why do you ask my name? The Zohar says that that's the name of Soros Shel Esav. His name is, why do you ask for my name? Is the world of physical without any meaning. Is the meaningless world. Is the world of the monkey. The life has no meaning. It's just purely random. That's Esav. Esav is sheker sheborosi boilomi. That's why he's kosher outside, but he's not kosher inside. There's no inside. There's no meaning to Esav. That's why Esav is the yotah chazir, right? Which he has kosher outside. He has the what you call a physical world. He has the image of something kosher, but it's nothing. It's empty. It's hollow inside. Right? That's what Chazal say. It's so interesting. The Romans. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about the Romans. Romans, we believe, they, according to the Ramban, they come from Esav, right? So the Gemara in Shabbos says that Rabbi Loi was worshiping the Dabri Mechol Mokim. He was praising the Romans. Said because they did a lot of good things. They built bridges. They built Bimer Chatzois. They did great things. Reb Shimon says, yes, but look what they meant. They have no meaning. They did all this great stuff for the wrong reasons. They did great development and great improvement and great technology, but they built bridges to raise money from it. They built what you call bathhouses to go ahead and enjoy themselves. So in other words, they only did this with the wrong intention, because that's Esav. Esav is the one that doesn't have anything. Ishav Shebarasi Bilomi. That's why Yaakov Avinu is Bebchinas Mokim. He is the ultimate tikkun, quote unquote, of the monkey. That's Suras Odom, that he connects himself to something much higher. That's why he saw the Sulam, right? The Sulam is, that's why in our parsha, see that Vaikra lo kele loike Yisrael. So the Chazal say that the Malachim called Yaakov kele loike Yisrael. Because he was the Musa Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of his life was a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That's why the word Emes is Aleph and Meis. It's something dead that you bring an Aleph within inside that connects to Mindset. That's why he institutes Mindset Ksofim. The Mindset of money is instituted by Yaakov. V'chol asher titin li aser asrenu loch. And he says, aser asrenu, give a double mindset, which is connected to the mindset, to the mindset bin a mindset. That's Yaakov Avinu. Okay? Shul soydo lamabo chelak Hashem yamoi. That's why Yaakov hevel nachlose, Chazal said, Yaakov is like the string that connects, is the rope to connect the world of physical to the world of spiritual. V'chol yishlem chelak lamabo. And now, klaisol chesak chelak lamabo. So this is the shita of the Shlo. In Mirz Hashem, The next time, we'll see what Hashem did, the Maral, how the Maral says the exact same thing. And you'll see the properties of the 10. The 10 has amazing properties in Hebrew and in Halacha, which is a reflection of what the 10 is, which is the connecting this world to the Yud, which is the shortage of the 10, realizing that the world is a second dimension of the 10, is the 100, and you have to take it to the 10, connect to the 1, which is a sort of Aleph Yud Kuf.
Who did Yaakov pick a miser to? What did he do with that?